All right. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me again. It's neat to be up here instead of down there listening. So bear with me today. This is only my fifth time ever preaching, so I'm still new at it, so forgive me. I'm still in training. You know, I'm a pit pastor in training. No, we won't say that. No. Just it was a joke. It was a lot. Okay. There we go. Okay. So before we get started, let's just ask the Lord to be with us and bless us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this place that we can come and just look into your word together. I thank you so much for your presence with us. We thank you that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us, and we thank you so much for that. God, now as we open up your word, I just pray that you would use me. Father, speak through me and to open the hearts of the people here. Father, just help them to hear and to learn something from your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have a little story to start. And it always has to do with Tim Hortons because that's my life, basically. Because I'm there like 6 days a week. So forgive me for always talking about Tim Hortons. But Tim Hortons, what can you say about it? Okay, so we have some giants in Tim Hortons, meaning like some not-so-nice customers, right? We'll just call them giants for the sake of being nice. But they're not-so-nice customers, right? And you always get some of those, right? They're always there, and they're present, and you have to kind of be kind to them, right? Despite the fact that you want to. One time, I think I told this story once before, but one time I was making sandwiches and I forgot to put meat on it or something. I don't know. I've made it wrong. Anyway, instead of like presenting the problem to me in a nice way, the person threw the sandwich back over the counter towards me. So, and as one of the people in management, you have to be nice person and, you know, try to make it right. Well, that was a hard situation to make right. It was a hard one to make right because I was really mad. Like, why are you throwing food at me? Like, are we too? But, because, I mean, that's what my daughter does, and she's 9 months, and she throws food at me all the time. And, like, that, I mean, is understandable because she's 9 months, but, like, you're, like, 53 or something. Like, don't throw food at me. Anyway, so we have that event that happens, and you're angry and you're furious and you just want to really just jump over the counter and start beating them up or something, but you can't do that. You have to make it right. And I think that the scriptures teach us that. There's sometimes, you know, we have these situations that come up or these things that happen, and instead of panicking or instead of being angry, we're supposed to make it right. And that is not always easy. And it's sometimes terrifying. And it's sometimes the complete opposite of what we want to do. If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we are going to talk about a giant. And this giant was actually a giant. He was over 9 feet tall. We're talking about David and Goliath here. Goliath, so this is like a time of war. Let's start there. So Israel is at war with the Philistines. They're like normal enemies. They're always fighting. They just hate each other because they're fighting over the same area of land and they both want it and they're always fighting, right? They're constantly in war, constantly in war, constantly in war. Well, this particular time, the Philistines set up a special champion, who was over 9 feet tall. He was huge, he was strong, he was mighty, and he said he would go out to the battlefield and he would say, if you can beat me, if you can send one person, one of your champions, Israel, towards me and fight me and you win, we'll be your slaves. But if I win, then you guys are going to be our slaves. That's how that's going to work. This is the challenge. And he would come out. And just imagine this, okay? I had a roommate in Bible college, and he was 6'7". And they put him with me, which I'm 5'3". So the comparison there, we were called David and Goliath a lot because I have a big temper. I have a big personality. So, but he didn't have such a big personality, so we used to... Anyway, I was Goliath, and he was David, which was the funny part. But anyway, Goliath would come out, this tall guy. So that, I wish he was here so we could compare exactly how this would be. But anyway, he would come out, and he would taunt them, and he would spite them, and he would keep going and going and going, like, you guys, come out here, you puny little Israelites, come out and face me, just one of you, and we will battle till the death. So King Saul and all of the army were scared. Can you imagine that? They were scared of this 9-foot guy that's taunting them, saying, oh, there's no power in Israel. Look at this. They're all chickens. They're not coming out. They're not coming to battle me. They're too afraid. I would be afraid. I mean, the first time I met John, that's his name, my roommate, I was terrified of him because he was so tall and so big. And I was like, how am I going to live with him? Like, and I mean, we had these onward battles too, like, you know, because we're roommates, and he would put everything on the top shelf and I'd put everything on the bottom. And then, you know, just to be funny. But, you know, I can't reach the top shelf and he can't reach the bottom. So anyway, there was this onward fear and this deep concern that I cannot, we are too afraid to go out. And an important fact, I think, that we should remember is, remember King Saul, when he was appointed king, remember what it said about him, that he was head and shoulders above the rest of Israel. He was a tall man. He was a big man. And he was afraid to go out and face this giant. He was terrified to go out. I think that's interesting. I think it's an important fact, because I think sometimes we, well, 9 feet is terrifyingly big. But Saul was tall too. He was a big guy. It could have been a fair battle. We don't know. Like, it could have been a decent fight. But he was afraid. And then he had all of his captains there, of his armies, the centurions and all the rest of them. I guess they're not called centurions. Yeah, that's Roman. But all of these captains of the armies, and they were afraid. I don't want to go out. Look at him. He's huge. He's tall. He's taunting us. He's terrifying. Well, then you have all the soldiers. I almost said shoulders. Soldiers. And they were also afraid. I am not going out there. I do not want to face him. But a little ways away, there was a shepherd boy. And he had 3 brothers in the war. And his dad said, well, here's a meal for them. I prepared something. I just need to make sure that my sons are okay. So he packed up David, and he said, David, just go and just take this to them and take this to their captain and just bring something back to tell me that my sons are okay. So David packed up everything, left his sheep with another shepherd, and he left to go and see his brothers. Well, when he got there, divine timing. On the 40th day of big tall guy coming out and yelling and taunting and screaming at these Israelites, David comes. And he says, who is that guy? And what is he talking about? Like, he's like, who is he? Well, that's Goliath from Gath. He is huge. And he is going to be coming out here and telling us, excuse me, that he wants to battle one person. Like, we're supposed to send a champion out there. And, you know, they're all terrified and telling David everything about him and that how often he's come out and he's like, David's like, his answer is so funny. Who is he to talk against the armies of the living God? Who is he to do that to us? Do you not know that God is here and he's alive and he will fight for us? Who is this guy? What is he doing? He's such a punk. Right? I'm paraphrasing a little bit if you're following along in the... This is Dylan's opinion, but the translation. Anyway... The punk, the giant, who is he? Why is his size scaring you? And so he's like, goes to the King Saul, and he says, I'll fight him. And King Saul, no, you are a young man. You are too young. You are just a young, small youth. You cannot go out there. This is a war zone. Oh, but, King Saul, I have fought lions. I have fought bears, and God has protected me against those. So what is this, what is he in comparison to a lion and a bear? Let me go. God will protect me. So Saul said, okay, but you have to put on all this armor. You have to wear all of this protection. Okay, so here's my breastplate, here's my belt, here's my sword, here's my shield, and go out. Well, I just imagine me wearing all of that, okay, and how heavy that would, like, right, fall over, and, oh, too heavy. You can. One time, just a little side note, one time we were doing this thing at camp, and we had to, of course it's at camp, right, like that's. These are at camp for Tim Hortons with me, but at camp, and we had to dress up. We were playing, it's called Amazing Race or something, and we're running around the camp like silly people and trying to find clues and getting back to where we started. But this one challenge that we had to do is we had to put on as many clothes from the drama bus as we could. And of course, because I'm small, like they're like, oh, here, Dylan, we can fit more on you, right? Like, so they're like piling things on me, and like how heavy that became, right? Like, and I couldn't really move, so they had to carry me to the finish line because I couldn't move. They put so many layers on me, and I just imagine little shepherd boy, little David, out there. He's probably like 16 to 18 years old at this point, not very old. I'm going to go out and not be able to move. Is that what you want, King Saul? Like, I'm not going to be able to move in this, right? Maybe he was a little bit kinder than that, I don't know. But I can't move. Like, how am I supposed to challenge this guy when I can't even take my sword out? I can't even move my arms. And so he took all of the armor off, and he said, God, don't worry, God. God will be my protection. Don't worry. He'll be my protection. So as the story goes on, it says that David went down to the stream, we know this, right? And he picks up the 5 smooth, round stones, and he puts them in his little pouch, his shepherd pouch. He has his sling in his hand, and he goes out to face Goliath. So I wish John was here to stand up so I could show you, like, a little illustration about how big this would be, right? Like, he is over 9 feet tall, and David is probably, you know, since he's younger, probably like, you know, 6-ish feet. Still 3 feet bigger, even if he was 6 feet, right? Still a huge guy. So what, like, oh my goodness. Even, I just, you know, look up like, whoa, there he is. There he is. How are we going to do this, right? That's my, like, I would be like, oh my goodness, this is too big. Maybe I should run away, right? But David didn't do that, did he? And Goliath, he was not kind to David. Oh, look, they sent a little kid out here? Oh, my goodness. And he's laughing and like, are you serious? Look at this guy. Like, look at me. Look at him. I could step on him and it would just be done, right? No. David said, you know, you can taunt me. You can talk all you want to. But I live for the Lord. I am here on behalf of God, and God is going to give me over to you, him over you, over to me. There we go. We got it. That's hard to say. He's going to give you over to me, and I am going to beat you. Well, Goliath. Yeah, right. Again, like, I can, like, one swing of my fist and you're gone. Well, David being David got his little stone. We all know this part of the story, I think. He put it in the sling. He got ready. Let it go. I don't know if it's like a swing. Or, I don't know. But he got a sling. He shot it. Hit him right in between the eyes. And then down goes Goliath. And you could probably hear the earth shake, right? Like this guy is big, right? And the Philistines ran for their little lives, right? They ran and ran and ran. And Israel pursued, right? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Let's take a minute and like look deep into this passage, because I think there's some principles and some truths here that we can use for our lives today. So the first one that I would like to bring out is that giants are scary, right? They are terrifying. And we all have them in our lives, right? Whether it be, you know, whatever our sin might be, right? We a few weeks ago when Andrew Marshall was here, he talked about our secret sins. Do you remember that sermon? It was quite a while ago. But he was talking about how, you know, we all have that sin that nobody else knows about. And maybe we don't even know that we're doing it, even. That's how secret some of our secret sins are, that we are living in constant, and we don't even know that we're doing it anymore. That's a bad situation. That's a giant to get over. And you know what? That's terrifying. I remember the last time I was here, I spoke on some of the struggles that I had, and one of those ones was homosexuality, right? I struggled with that, and that was a real thing that I struggled and I had to get over. And it was a hard hurdle to jump over, and I had people who helped me, and it was a scary, scary giant, though. It was scary. I was not sure what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to see. I didn't know who to talk to. I felt very alone. I felt very... That was a terrifying time. And that giant was not fun to get over. And we all have those, right? We all have them. Maybe some people lie, or some people rely too much on alcohol and drugs and all whatever it is. Like, we have a sin that needs to be conquered, even if it's scary. Even if it's scary. But we have, in this passage, we have a few different personalities, right, that come out. We have the giant who's taunting us, right? Oh no, don't bother. That's Satan, right? Don't bother fixing it, because you're not going to win. Isn't that what it says? You're not going to beat me. You are not going to win. Isn't that the most discouraging thing in the world, hearing that? And that's yourself telling yourself that, right? Or it could be the world saying that, or it could be different people. It doesn't matter. Somebody's saying, no, you can't get over me. I'm there forever. I'm your secret sin, right? If they could talk, right? I'm your secret sin, and no, you're not going to beat me. I'm going to be there. I'm bigger than you. Ha. Right? Taunting you. That's one personality that's in here. Then you have Saul, who, again, he's a king. He's a leader of the people. He is tall. He is handsome, as it says, and he is mighty. And he is a soldier. That is what he's trained to do. And when he was faced with a giant, he closed up. He got so scared of this big guy that he forgot who God was. He forgot who he served. He forgot who went before him. He cowered, right? He closed up. He clammed up. Let's not be Sauls. But we have a third personality in this passage, and that's David. Probably the most unpredictable one, the most one that's like, well, you're too young to have a personality like that. You're too young to be like that. But he comes in with a faith, as if I can say, as Jesus said, a faith of a mustard seed. He could move a mountain if he wanted to. He came, his faith was strong. He knew exactly who God was. He knew exactly what to do in this situation. Did he rely on his own strength to defeat Goliath? Not at all. Not at all. He said, you know, Israel has a living God. And that God goes before us in war every time. And he will go before us now. So let me go out and let me defeat him on behalf of God. David had a winning personality, right? He had a faith, a strong one. He was grounded in it. And when he was faced with a giant, he went out there with his little stones and his little sling and a huge faith, and he defeated that giant. He defeated him. So of the three personalities, I have a question. Which one are you? Which one are you listening to? Are you listening to the sin in there? Are you listening to the giant? No, don't bother defeating me. Don't bother fighting me. Just live with me. Just be my slave. Or are you King Saul, who's like, well, I see the giant. I know it's there. I'm just not going to deal with it. I think I'll just stay here and let somebody else defeat it for me. Or are you David? More than willing to fight because he knows who goes before him. And he defeated the giant. So as we contemplate that in our hearts, you know, we have a God who loves us, right? We all know that, right? God loves us. That's a elementary level thing, right? God loves us. We teach that in Sunday school. God is love. God loves us. That's, you know, we teach that to cubbies even, right? The little ones. They know that. God loves us. But do we really know what that means? God loves us. God loves us. Think about that. Just keep saying it in your minds. God loves us. God loves us. What does that even mean? How can he love us? Right? If you remember, I don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden before they sinned, but Adam and Eve were there. There were this. It seems like there was only two of them at the time. They took that fruit. I was going to say apple. Isn't that terrible? They took that fruit, the forbidden fruit, and they ate it. They sinned right away. Like, boom. Didn't take long. One trick. Done. All of humanity fallen. Depression everywhere. Like, it's just sad. Right? Just didn't take long. Then the next chapter of Genesis, remember, like, a brother killed a brother. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it? And then, two chapters later, God's like, this is too much. Like, sin is out of control. You guys are wicked hearts. There's only one person and his family who is willing to serve me right now. Out of all the people in the world, one family is willing to serve me. And he sent a flood. But he loves us. He did that because he loves us. He loves us. I know that seems like a very backwards thing. How could he kill the whole world except for one family? Because he loves us. But because he loves us, he did not want us to be wicked, right? He saves the righteous. He saves the pure of heart. It is an amazing truth. Maybe elementary, but the best elementary ever. God loves us. I know I keep repeating that, but if you think about what that means and how privileged we are to have the Bible, have a God who offered his word to us. I mean, if you look into some world religions, there are some holy books, but they all have some holes in them. They're like this and that, and they're contrary. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of issues with them. And even the Quran, like when it's translated in English, not holy anymore, right? Like it's not right anymore. But our Bibles are so perfect. Like there was an article on creation. What is it? Creation Ministries, not long ago, about finding a part of the Bible, and when they translated it today from that to today's language, just like this was like a few months ago, not very long ago, it was the exact same. And this is like an old, old manuscript from like, I don't remember exactly, 30 AD or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter. What the point is that our Bible has been preserved because God loves us. Our faith is true because God loves us. Our lives can be lived in a Christian way, or like is people of faith and truth, because God loves us. David didn't have any armor on when he went up to face Goliath, did he? He said it was too heavy to bear. But God was his armor, wasn't he? He said, no, God's going to go before me. He'll protect me from that. So when you're facing your giants, when you're facing those secret sins, when you're out there and you're facing that rude customer at work, or you're out there and you're facing a terrible financial experience or whatever it might be, you're out there and you're facing this world because this world is not good. When you're out there facing it, just remember God goes before you. God loves you. Your faith will protect you from this world because God loves us. He loved us to the point of sending his son, didn't he? God loved us and sent his son. That's our cubby motto. God loves us and sent his son. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his son into this world. I'm just a thought, but if I could talk to God right now, like face to face, I mean, like prayer is obviously talking to God, but if I was sitting right there and I was talking to God and I said, why would you send your son to this world? Like, look at us. We don't deserve anything. We chose to despise you, forsake you. Like, that is our choice, and we have done that on our own. Why would you send your son here to die for us? Why would you do that? You know what his answer would be? Because I love you. I care for you. I want you to have eternal life with me. Like, hallelujah, right? God loves us. Jesus, while he was down here on this earth and walking around, just imagine that for a second. You know, our God was down here walking around with us, talking with people. Sorry. Just think for a minute. If you created this place, and you came down, and you were walking in your creation, and you saw sickness, you saw disease, you saw sadness, grief, all these burdens. Can you imagine how Jesus must have felt walking amongst his creation like that? He created them perfectly in his image, right? He made him perfectly. And he came down here to a broken world. And he was walking around and seeing what sin has done. I'm sure he wept over that. I'm sure he did. How devastating. Look at where we've brought our world, right? Like, that's so sad. And he said, I want to redeem them. I want to buy them back. I know that they've destroyed what I have made, but I want to make them what they're supposed to be. So I am going to go to the cross for them. I am going to die a sinner's death for them so that they might become children of God, so that they might have eternal life, that they might live with me eternally. We have a God who can face giants. We have a God who can beat the giants. We have a God who is more than willing to defeat those giants for you. All you have to do is ask him. You know why he's more than willing? Because he already did it. He already defeated the giant. He defeated that giant on the cross, that giant being sin. He already dealt with it. He's there on the cross. And remember those 3 hours of darkness? That's when all the sins of the world, including ours, including mine, was taken from me, placed on the shoulders of the Holy One, so that we don't have to die. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to do that. Because he beat that giant for us. And he did not stay dead, did he? That story does not end there. Thank goodness. Praise God, right? It does not end at death, does it? No, it does not. He rose from that dead. He rose from the grave. He came back to life. That's amazing. That's a victory, isn't it? That is a great victory. We have that victory too. And we have something to look forward to. John 14 tells us that God has gone to prepare a place for us. Jesus is making something for us in heaven. Isn't that amazing? He's making a place for us. He's just making it all pretty for us. Us sinners, we're going to go there and we're going to be co-heirs with him. Co-heirs. That's a whole other sermon, so we're not going to go there. But it's amazing, amazing to think that our God, who is able and willing to face giants. So, again, I ask the question, which person are you listening to? Are you listening to the giant? Oh, don't worry. I'm here for life. So just get comfortable. Are you a Saul? Oh, I know that it's there for life, so I'm just going to leave it there. And, you know, God will deal with me later. And he will. But, or are you a David? Who goes out with 5 little stones and uses one of them and defeats the giant because his faith was in the Lord. My prayer is, as we conclude, that we all become Davids. We all have hearts pure, and that we rely fully on God to defeat life's challenges as we go through them, because we're all at different ages and stages. So we're all going to go through different ages and stages stuff. So, but we deal with the issues as they come, like David did, with God going before him and winning that victory. Let's just close in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this story. God, what an amazing story it is. It is a story of a young guy going out and defeating something that was just so beyond him. He could not have done it without you. We thank you for his faith. We thank you for him finding his strength in you. God, I thank you that you have a victory for us, that you are there and you are bigger than any of our problems, that you have already defeated the great giant of sin. Jesus, thank you so much for that. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your nail-pierced hands. Thank you that you did not stay in that grave, but that you rose again, victorious over this life, over death, over sin, and that you are sitting there, Lord Jesus, at the right hand of God. God, I pray that we look to you for our strength. I pray that you would help us in our hearts to be like David, have a genuine faith, be the true giant in faith. Help us to be that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.